Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you. I had a bit of, as I said to some of you earlier, a bit of a wobbly moment because I thought I wasn't going to be able to get on Zoom at all. So I'm very pleased when people started to turn up. Hopefully, once we've got our new broadband fitted, we'll be whizzing along. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. Let us thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let us offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and tell of his acts with shouts of joy. Come, worship the God who said, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. We will come before our God. On this Mothering Sunday, we open our hearts before you, faithful God, bringing those we love and those we struggle to love, those we have lost and those we are afraid of losing. We bring our tears and our joy, our disappointments and our hopes. We bring all that we carry and all that we long to lay down in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us call to mind our sin, our failure to value the love of others, and our failure to love as Christ has loved us. Your love gives us life from the moment of conception. We fail to live as your children. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You call us to do good. We seek our own good. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You hear us when we cry for help. We ignore the cries of others. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore in us his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And a song of St. Anselm. And we say together, Gather your little ones to you, O God, as a hen gathers her brood to protect them. Jesus, like a mother, you gather your people to you. You are gentle with us as a mother with her children. Often you weep over our sins and our pride. Tenderly, you draw us from hatred and judgment. You comfort us in sorrow and bind up our wounds. In sickness, you nurse us, and with pure milk, you feed us. Jesus, by your dying, we are born to new life. By your anguish and labour, we come forth in joy. Gather your little ones to you, O God. As a hen gathers her brood to protect them. Despair turns to hope through your sweet goodness. Through your gentleness, we find comfort in fear. Your warmth gives life to the dead. Your touch makes sinners righteous. Lord Jesus, in your mercy, heal us. In your love and tenderness, remake us. In your compassion, bring grace and forgiveness. For the beauty of heaven, may your love prepare us. Gather your little ones to you, O God, as a hen gathers her brood to protect them. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Exodus chapter 1, starting to read at verse 15, the birth of Moses. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Every Hebrew boy that is born must be thrown into the Nile, but let every girl live." Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the baby in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Her sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Joseph. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And we say our psalm this morning, beginning with the refrain, "The Lord shall keep watch over your going out and your coming in." Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you hasten to rise up early and go so late to rest, eating the bread of toil. For he gives his beloved sheep sleep. The Lord shall keep watch over your going out and your coming in. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Oh, we've got a repeat there. Sorry, that's my cutting and pacing. Let's move to verse 4. The children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his gift. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy are those who have their quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they dispute with their enemies in the gate. The Lord shall keep watch over your going out and your coming in. Lord, you are ever watchful, and bless us with your gifts as you provide for all our needs. So help us to build only what pleases you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, starting to read at verse 33. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God." Well, I think Steve and I could have changed the stories of scripture there this morning. We could have Moses became Joseph and God decided to give his people sheep instead of sleep. So I'm giving permission for Steve while I read my sermon to just check that I haven't doubled the prayers up as well. It seems like it might have been one of those days last week. Well, this week I'm going to do something which may be life-changing. In fact, when I told someone what I was going to do, she said that it may well be transformative, not just for me, but for my family. We'll have to wait and see. You see, this week on Wednesday morning, Robert and I are picking up my eldest son and his wife from Heathrow. Matthew has been living in Hanoi since 2012. I have seen him four times since then, and I've met his wife once, although we have spoken and FaceTimed in between. We haven't lived together for about 15 years, but now he and Mei Lu are coming back for good, and they will be living with us for a while until their plans take shape, when they will probably move to Bristol. It's going to be quite a change. It's going to be a major adjustment for all of us. And by the middle of this week, Robert and I will be in the fortunate position of having all six of our children and grandchildren living in Devon within easy reach. Who would have thought it? All our chicks in one basket. And my friend is right. We have no idea what the repercussions will be for all of us, but it will be transformative and everything will change. Today's Bible story from Exodus highlights how a series of actions can lead to something phenomenal and be transformative and initiate change. And it is a story which is completely appropriate for Mother's Day. Or do you prefer Mothering Sunday? I was very surprised to read this week that there is more to Mother's Day and Mothering Sunday that meets the eye. I had always been led to believe that Mothering Sunday was a British thing, about worshipping at your mother church, the largest church in your area, or the church where you had been baptised. Later in the 19th century, it was a day when domestic servants could take the day off and go home. To be honest, I had been a bit sniffy and pedantic about calling Mothering Sunday, Mothering Sunday, and not Mother's Day. So imagine my surprise when I read that at the end of the 19th century, an American woman called Anne Jarvis had apparently said, "I hope and pray that someone, sometime, will found a memorial Mother's Day commemorating her for the matchless service she renders to humanity in every field of life. She is entitled to it." Anne died in 1904 in West Virginia. Her daughter had heard what her mother had said and held a memorial service on the 10th of May. And 10 years later, Woodrow Wilson declared that the second Sunday in May was to be Mother's Day in America. The idea of Mother's Day took hold and spread to Britain. And so on the fourth Sunday in Lent, our Mother's Day, or Mothering Sunday. Clearly, both in the UK and in the United States, Mother's Day or Mothering Sunday has become not only a day to commemorate mothers, but also a day for some people to capitalize on it and make a lot of money. Our readings for today focus on a mother and women whose actions changed and shaped the lives of others. There are five women in our Old Testament story: two midwives, Puah and Shiphrah, a mother, Jochebed, Miriam, a sister, and a princess. Their brave decisions lead to God's people, the Hebrews, the children of Israel, being rescued from slavery in Egypt. Puah and Shiphrah were brave women. They defied Pharaoh's orders to kill baby boys at birth, and they let the baby boys live. They were brave enough to stand in the presence of Pharaoh and to give a plausible reason why the baby boys were surviving. Why did they do it? The Bible tells us they did it because they feared God. I suspect the midwives feared Pharaoh too, but it was a different sort of fear. They knew that Pharaoh had the power to kill them, just as he had the power to declare that all the Hebrew baby boys should be killed. But they feared God more. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, says the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is to be in awe of him, in awe of his majesty, in awe of his greatness, in awe of his love and mercy. When we fear the Lord, it is because we love him so much. We want to obey him and please him. The midwives may have been afraid of Pharaoh because of his cruelty and malice, but they feared God more and wanted to please him, obey him, and do what was right. Because they feared the Lord, many baby boys were saved, and one baby boy in particular. As you probably know, I like to imagine some of the stories we read in the Bible, and I can imagine this one. What would it have been like to try and hide a baby? The book of Exodus tells us that the baby's mother kept him hidden for about 3 months. How do you do that? How do you hide a baby for that length of time? The Israelites were slaves. They were oppressed people. And oppressed people don't live in big, grand, detached houses. Oppressed people live in homes that are squashed together. They would have lived on top of their neighbours, separated by little more than a reed fence. Every time the baby cried or whimpered, his parents and his sister would have rushed to him. No wonder, after 3 months, they knew it was impossible to hide him anymore, and they had to come up with another plan. I understand that hiding things amongst the reeds of the River Nile was not that unusual, but it was dangerous. It's one of the reasons that Pharaoh decreed that the babies should be thrown into the River Nile. There were crocodiles in the river, not an ideal place to hide a baby. Maybe Jochebed and Miriam knew that the princess came to the place where they hid the baby. Maybe they had heard good things about her. Maybe they hid the baby in a place where they knew the princess would find him. We just don't know. All we know is that she did find him, and she wasn't fooled for a moment. She could tell straight away that he was a Hebrew baby. And the Bible tells us that she had compassion for him. She felt sorry for him. And despite knowing that her father had ordered Hebrew babies to be killed, she promises to look after him and to take him into her own home. At this point, when she finds the baby, Moses' sister Miriam steps out and offers to find the child a nurse, who turns out to be the baby's own mother. What a turnaround. Instead of trying to hide the child as a toddler, can you imagine? Moses' mum is paid to look after him. The princess calls the baby Moses, which sounds like the Hebrew for I lifted him out. And of course, if you know the story, you know that Moses became a hero. He led God's people out of slavery in Egypt towards the promised land. However, if it hadn't been for these five women, his story would have ended in Exodus chapter 2. I don't suppose that any of those women had any idea of the enormity of their actions. They just did what was right at the time. The women in our story were brave, courageous, and bold. They chose to do what was right, and it seems to me that they are like hidden heroes. There are many women just like that through history. You may know one of them. Actually, you may be one of them, and you may never know it. Today is a moment to remember the women we have known who have been bold and courageous, and in their own simple way have given us an example of what is right. You don't have to be biologically related, like the midwives and Pharaoh, to play a part in raising children and showing what is right and good. And actually, you don't have to be a woman. So Mother's Day, Mothering Sunday, is an important day. Not because of the cards and the flowers and the chocolate, because it reminds us of the vital role women and men have played and do play in our communities and in the world, and to say thank you to God for them. Amen.
Let us pray. In the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy. O Lord, restore us and make us new. God of love, for the softening of our hearts and the opening of our arms, for generosity that welcomes the lost, for our need of your tenderness to restore our failures, for our churches to be renewed in loving and giving, for the courage to lay down our lives for one another, for the strength to answer your call to serve others, for a new start, we cry to you, bringing healing and hope. God of love, for all who carry the scars of conflict, the external and internal signs of pain endured, for the lost and lonely, the displaced and the dispossessed, for all whose lives have been broken, for those in our community who are suffering, for all who wait powerless at the bedside of the ill and the dying, we cry to you. Bring healing and hope. God of love, for the needs in our own communities, for families under pressure, for people struggling with rising bills, for people in debt and distress who have nowhere to turn, for all who need to know today they are loved, for all who are bringing up children amid the pressures of today's world, for the sacrifices that form the fabric of parenthood, and for children and young people facing a future full of challenges, we cry to you, bringing healing and hope. God of love, for mothers who are apart from their children, for all motherless and lost children, for all of us whose mothers have died, for a parent or parents of a child who has died, and for children without parents, for all who long for children but are unable to have them, for all the struggles of family life, for children far away from home, for unaccompanied children fleeing fighting, and for children whose homes are not places of safety and kindness, we cry to you, bringing healing and hope. God of love, for the places in your world that are now our litany of despair, for towns razed to the ground, for communities wiped entirely off from the map, for the besieged, the abducted, and the starving, for motherless children in a war zone, for the injured and the dying, for those who weep by their side, we cry to you, bringing healing and hope. God of love, for the places in the world that are torn apart by conflict, for the hungry and the homeless, for the persecuted and the oppressed, for all who need safety and shelter, for those whose rights are denied, for the places where truth cannot be spoken and where dissenting voices are silenced. This morning we pray for those who are known to us who are unwell: Jacques, Brenda, Olivia, Cynthia, Jackie, Mary, Tony, Donald, Diana, Roman, Ruth, Mike, Bob, Keith, Janice, Georgie, Reg, Joy, Graham, Peter, Rosemary, and we pray for those families whose friends or members of their families have died. We pray for Edna Rogers. We cry to you, bringing healing and hope. God of love, for simple pleasures in the midst of challenge and hardship, for lengthening hours of daylight, for people who lift our burdens, wipe away our tears, share our lives and dreams, and call out our best selves. For your faithful presence with us through darkness and light, and for a deeper experience of your love, which shapes us, calls us, rescues us, and will bring us home, we cry to you, bringing healing and hope. In the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy. O Lord, restore us and make us new. Amen. The Collect for Mothering Sunday. God of compassion, whose Son Jesus Christ, the child of Mary, shared the life of a home in Nazareth, and on the cross drew the whole human family to himself, strengthen us in our daily living, that in joy and in sorrow we may know the power of your presence to bind together and to heal, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Christ so loved the world that he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit so loves the world that he sends us out in love and to be loved. And may God, who gave birth to all creation, bless us. May God, who became incarnate by an earthly mother, bless us. May God, who broods as a mother over her children, bless us. May Almighty God bless us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. I hope whatever you're doing, you have a great and blessed day, and look forward to being with you this time next week. Same time, same channel. Same problems.